chapter 5, verse 44, he rebuked the people, but he said to them, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" In other words, he's encouraging them as a people, seek to the
from God as part of our church. I believe God wants to pour out honor on our lives. And here in this passage in 1 Samuel, we have this challenge that this man of God, this servant, brings to Eli the priest at this time, because there was dishonor in the house, and therefore God was not going to honor them. Also says here there will be those
So I want to look at that today. What does it mean to honor God? How can we honor God with our lives, in our lives? How can we honor God as a church? And, I've heard it's been drummed into me throughout the lives. You honor God and he'll honor you. Honor God in this situation and he'll honor you. And I've seen the honor of God countless times in my life, in my family life. And I want to see it in a church too, amongst us. Don't you want to see that for your lives? Amen. I tell you, it's good stuff. It really is. Jesus has a lot to say about honor. What is honor? Honor is that which you value, that which you, the Bible talks about, has the element of weightiness. That in other words, when what you value, the sense of worth that you give something or someone, what you value, you put to that before you. So when we're told to honor God, it's what value, what worth do we give to God? How much is God worth to us? I mean, John's already shared this morning about God's just amazing, how people encountered God and were amazed and in awe of who Jesus is. What honor do we give to God? It will affect how we worship him. It will affect how we serve him. It will affect how we serve one another. It will affect our relationship with him. It will affect how we hear from God. It will affect how we are as parents, as grandparents, as children. It will affect every area of our life, how we value and the worth we put towards God. We come to this passage in 1 Samuel, and the reason why this man of God came and brought this word to Eli, because Eli was not fully honoring God with his life, but not only that, his sons were showing no honor whatsoever to God, and their sons were priests, high priests, were set up to be the high priest. Eli was the high priest, so they were going to be ready to take on that position. And yet they showed no honor to God in the house of God. Therefore, God could not, would not honor them. So we go back to chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this was the time, we know the story, if you read your Bibles and you know the story of Hannah in the Bible, she's a woman who cried out to God, she couldn't have children, and God honored her prayer and blessed her with Samuel. And she said, "God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you." So she gave Samuel back to the Lord. She honored, as God honored her prayer, she honored her promise. And God blessed her with Samuel. And she took Samuel to the sanctuary in Shiloh, where he grew up in the presence of God. I just love the story of Samuel. And verse 11, it says, "Then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." There he is, growing up. And you look at Samuel's life, you see a man, a young boy who learned to honor God. And because of that, God honored him greatly. But then the next verse goes on to say, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord." That word worthless meant to almost say they're worthless, they were good for nothings. That's literally what it means. Their lives, they were priests, they had great authority, they had a great future apparently ahead of their lives. But they were considered as worthless in the sight of God. Why? Because they were not people who honored God. First thing it says, the next verse gives us the very beginning of how we begin to honor God. It's all in this next verse. It says, and the next words of this verse, "They were worthless men, they did not know the Lord." And I looked a bit further into this. What does it mean they did not know the Lord? Surely they would have heard the stories. They would have seen the great things that God have done in the past, you know, through their predecessors and their fathers before. What does it mean they did not know the Lord? They were serving in the sanctuary every day. But when you look into this and the translation of it, it literally means they had no desire to know the Lord. They had no desire to please the Lord or to find out what pleases Him in their hearts. They desired honor for themselves, but the no desire to know the Lord. You know, in our lives, we can be brought up in church life. We can come and we can learn to worship God, and we can learn a lot about what the Bible says. We can learn a lot about God and even the character of God. We can even see God working and maybe have experience of God. But that does not mean that we necessarily know God. As Christians, as followers of Christ, it is our mission, it should be our mandate, it should be our goal in life to know Jesus intimately. To know Him as a friend, yes, but to know Him as God, as Lord, as the coming King, as the Savior of the world. It says in Isaiah 29 verse 13, it says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people, they draw near to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips. In other words, they say the right things. They sing the right songs. They have the right conversations. They quote the right scriptures. But have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear towards me is taught by the commandments of men. They came with lip service, yet their hearts did not know the Lord. Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, they knew of God. They believed in God. They talked about God. Likely they came and they would have worshipped God in their own way. But it says, but they did not honor. God desires honor from us. Worthy of honor from each and every single one of us. Revelation tells us, you, O Lord, are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Do you know that? That you and I, we only exist today by the will of God. So you alone are worthy of honor, to receive honor. Where is He going to receive it from? You and I. He deserves honor. We must give Him honor. And there are people here, you know, in this world today who will know God to the extent know about Him, but they don't know Him. They're not acquainted with Him in that relationship, in an intimate way where they know Him and they know His voice. In other words, He says, they are taught the fear of the Lord by the precepts of men or by the commandments of men. In other words, people have told people to, this is how you fear the Lord. So they know what it is to fear the Lord, but they're not knowing it through the relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, to know the fear of the Lord is to walk closely with Him. In other words, you fear God not because somebody told you to or because the scriptures tell you to. Yes, that's right. But you fear God because you know Him. You're in awe of Him. You fall on your knees before Him because you know God, because you have that relationship with Him. You fear Him in such a way that you are in awe with Him. And that word fear encompasses also the word respect, to honor Him. So if we don't value God, if we don't, we will not fear Him. We will not see Him worthy of honor. These people, these priests, they did not honor the Lord because they did not know Him. I tell you, to know God will encourage you to honor Him. Let's get to know Him more. Let's develop our relationship with Him through honoring Him. One of the things that we read about Samuel, it says that he ministered before the Lord. In other words, his heart, he just wanted to serve God. He'd been given over to God, but his heart was, I just want to serve God. He just wanted to grow up. Even before he began to hear the voice of God, he was serving God. He was serving God in the sanctuary. He was serving God any way he could. He was serving Eli, even though Eli wasn't fully honorable to God. And we'll see that in a moment or two if we get the chance. But he desired to minister to the Lord, and his service was unto God. Whatever God had given him, he wanted to give it to God. His life was one that honored God. Don't you just want to say, God, let my life, let this vessel be a vessel of honor unto you. Let my life just be pleasing to you. I know I do. He's given me this body. He's given me this mind. He's given me these hands. He's given me this heart. He's given us this church. Wonderful church. You're a great bunch of people. I want to honor God with everything that he's given me. But then we see the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons. It says that when they ministered to the Lord, they were just ministering unto themselves. They would go into when the time of sacrifice came. We read in the next 13 to verse 17. We read, when the time of sacrifice came, they would come and see the sacrifices that were there. The priests would be preparing it. The people would come and bring their worship and the offerings. And they would be cooking it in the pot, if you like. And the sons would come. And what was supposed to happen was the first portion, the fat, the best portion of the sacrifice was to go to God, was to be surrendered to the Lord. And these sons, they would come along and they wanted that for themselves. So they would argue with the other priests who were preparing it. And to say to them, give us this for ourselves. We want the fat. And they would dip in their forks and take out the best portion for themselves. That which should be honored to God, they were taking for themselves. Sadly, sometimes how it is in the house of God. God blesses us with so much. He gives us gifts. He gives us provisions. He blesses us with so much. And yet we use it for our own honor, our own selves. That the best portion, God deserves the best. He deserves the first. It's interesting that the names have, and whether that has some reference to how they were, because they were bullies in the house. They're bullying the other priests that were there, because they said, the priests were saying, you must give this first portion to God. You must give it. And they said, if you don't give it to us, then we'll take it by force. And the names mean, Hophni means boxer. Literally, it means boxer. And Phinehas means the mouth of brass or a mouth of a serpent. And the people, they were coming, they were bringing their sacrifices, and there was no joy. In fact, some of the people stopped bringing them. They couldn't bear to come into the house of the Lord to bring their worship, to bring their sacrifices, because they were going to get bullied by these two priests, because they were taking it for themselves, and what they were doing was wrong. It's so important that what God has given us, that we give it to him. He deserves the first portion. He deserves the best. It sends in Proverbs 3 verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And I believe that God has given us so much. I believe that as a church, we are wealthy with giftings, with talents, with abilities, with love, with experience. What are we doing with what God has given us? Are we using it for ourselves? Are we allowing those things to become dormant? Are we pressing it down? Are we using it for worldly purposes? Are we using everything for ourselves? Are we using it for the honor of God? Because the Lord said, bring the first fruits into the storehouse. I tell you, God, take my life, everything I have. Take it for you, for him. Because I know in that, his promise is, as we honor God, he will honor us. We want God's honor in our life. We want God's blessing. We want God's voice. We want the miracles. We want the blessings of God. But it comes, starts within the place of honor with our lives. God promises to bless us as we give to him. It says in verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, thus the sin of this young man were very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. This offering ultimately points to Jesus Christ, the once and for all sacrifice for you and I. Do we honor today? We've had communion together. That's why I believe that we should take it every week when we meet together. Because I'm honoring God's sacrifice for us. I'm honoring that once and for all sacrifice. The offering that he gave to us is a reminder that God, that let my life be an offering to you. Let me lay down the things that I want to take up. Let me lay those things down before you. My God, you gave your life for us. They despise the offering. How many people in this world despise the offering of Jesus Christ? Dying for them, saving them, taking away the sins upon them. And yet, I don't want to know Jesus. The time that we give to him, do we honor Jesus? Are we thankful for what he's done for us. He's worthy of honor. And verse 18 says again, now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. You know, as they wore the ephod, it was just a symbol of representation of a servant of God. He was the glory of God. As this young boy ministered, while there's all this dishonor going on around them, this young boy was honoring the Lord. And I think, God, I want to be like Samuel. In this world around us, when there's so much dishonor, where your name is dishonored so often, where sometimes, Father, people are dishonoring you in their lives with what they have. But God, let me be like Samuel. Let me be like you that ministers before you, that's an example before you, that you'll still honor me in the midst of this world. Don't you want to be considered like a Samuel who honors God and ministers before him? That garment of servanthood. Honoring God. You know, one of the ways that we honor God is quite simply by receiving him. When Jesus talked, when he went to his hometown, and John had already mentioned it today, when Jesus went to his hometown, it says that he could do no miracles there. He wasn't able to do but a few, just to heal a few sick people. It doesn't say he wouldn't, it says he couldn't. That's interesting, isn't it? You're saying you're limiting God. We know God is able to do all things, but the kingdom principles, if you like, that God puts before us, the kingdom practicalities that God puts before us, is that the requirement of faith, but also I believe there's a requirement of honor before God. Jesus said he could do very little. In other words, when he came to the town, people were seeing him, and it says that he could do very little there. It goes on to say, Matthew. Mark 6, verse 4, we read about it in Mark 6. It says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and his household. In other words, wherever Jesus went, he was receiving honor. But when he came to his hometown, he wasn't receiving the honor of a prophet. Later on in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus says these words. He said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, when Jesus came to his hometown, people said, hey, look, it's Jesus. Hey, Jesus, the carpenter's son. And maybe there's a few people there and said, have you heard about Jesus? He's been healing people. People have been touching him and they've just got healed. I mean, people have been bound with demons and they've been totally set free. Jesus, you're talking about the same Jesus that we played on the streets with. Are you talking about Jesus that made those carpenters stuff up there, those benches? And really? Our friend Jesus? Jesus, the one that we went to school with? Are you talking about the same Jesus? You see, they were receiving Jesus as a brother, as a friend, as a neighbor, not as a prophet. So what reward did they get? They got a brother's reward, they got a neighbor's reward, they got a friend's reward, they got a carpenter's son reward, but they were not getting the reward of a prophet. If they received Jesus as a prophet into their town, they would have received the same miracles that the other places were getting. What value we put on Christ would determine what he gives unto us. Jesus said, you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. You receive a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. You receive a worship leader, you receive a worship leader's reward. You receive a youth pastor, you receive a youth pastor's reward. You receive whatever that may be, you can put something to it. And if we're coming and maybe somebody's coming to bring a word on one Sunday morning and actually it's Harry's bringing the word this week, and you know what, boy, that guy's just boring. Do I have to listen to him? And he's going to go on and on and on. And you think, well, I'll just get my phone out today and I've got a few emails to respond to. And then somebody else comes in and think, wow, Harry's speaking today. You know, maybe he's not the most dynamic of communicators, but you know, I know he's a man who prays and seeks God. He's a man, he's in his word regularly and he's seeking to hear God. I know he's a man who honors God. So that guy's sitting there on the edge of his seat and he's listening to every single word that's coming from Harry's mouth. The difference, Harry says, boy, that word was great this morning. God really spoke to me this morning. The other guy says, you know, I didn't get anything from that word. Why? No difference, because he received the reward of what he received in the person. It's the same with one another. When we receive each other, will receive the reward that they give. If we reject one another, we know that. We can sit in there, we know, we can choose different meetings we go to, and we think, well, I don't really want to listen to that person, or I don't like listening to that person leading worship, whatever it may be. I tell you, we receive that reward. It determines, you know, and I've learned, it doesn't matter who's speaking, it doesn't matter who's leading worship, it doesn't matter who's ministering, who's praying, you know, I want to receive from God. I want to receive the anointing on that person's life. That means I need to receive them. Look what Matthew 10 verse 40 says. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. There's a power in honoring God. When we honor God's anointed, we're honoring the anointing on that person. We receive the anointing for our life. Is this making sense this morning? I think this is great revelation. Honoring Jesus. When we honor him, we're honoring God. And when we honor God, God honors us. He'll pour out his truth and his promising. But when we dishonor God and we dishonor the servants of the Lord, then we miss out. Praise God. Hophni and Phineas, they dishonored those people around them. It says they also dishonored the women. There were women coming to the gates and were sitting there, were serving at the gates. And it says that they ended up having sexual intercourse with these women as they were coming through. These were the leaders. If you like, they were the leaders of the church, if you like. They were mistreating that which God had considered holy. And we see it sometimes. We see these sex scandals and we see these monetary scandals in churches, and it just shocks us. And people use that to excuse them from their own worship of God. I tell you what, we don't worship man, we worship God. Don't ever allow what happens in someone's life to affect your relationship with Jesus. Never. That will happen in the world. Jesus said it's going to happen. But nonetheless, they were dishonoring God. They were dishonoring the women. Let me tell you today, we must honor each other. We must honor. And when we, you know, be careful what you're looking at on the internet. Be careful what you're watching on the television and how you're viewing things. The Bible tells us don't look at another woman with lust. It's dishonoring to God. It's also dishonoring to that individual. You know, when you look at another, I tell you, this is the way we look at one another. As brothers, as sisters, as mothers, as fathers, as your own children. Don't look at somebody with a lustful eye and start doing all kinds of things in your mind. Don't allow that to happen, because it's dishonoring to God and it's dishonoring to you. Treat one another. That could be somebody, that what you're looking at could be somebody's daughter. That could be somebody's wife. That could be somebody's mom. That could be somebody's future husband or wife. Be careful. Be careful. It's dishonoring to God. If you dishonor God, he'll dishonor you. See, every area, and these men, they were dishonoring God. They were dishonoring their position. They were abusing the women. They were not treating them as treasured possessions. I love what 1 Peter 3 says. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them in understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of the life, that your prayers won't be hindered. See, if we're dishonoring our wives, or even our husbands in the household, then it says it's going to affect our prayer life. So if I'm treating my wife badly, we go home after church today and I start telling her how rubbish her dinner is, and then I start beating her and I start going out and looking at other women and all kinds of things, then I think God's going to answer my prayers. No. See, we need to be honorable in the household as much as in the house of God. I love my wife. I tell you, she's not here so I can say it, but she is, God has blessed me, such a tremendous one. She's certainly the better half, without a doubt. In many ways, I tell you, if you knew how much she did, often maybe she's very shy, but she does so much for me and the family and for this church. Boy, anyway, don't tell her I said that. But we need to honor, and then we know God. Well, I hope our prayers won't be hindered. These men were dishonoring their their own wives. They're dishonoring their relationship with God. Why? Because they didn't honor God. If they honored God, they would honor their lifestyles. It starts with honoring him in our lives. It was great on Tuesday. I could say so many. There's so much I just want to share with you today. I'm just aware of time. But on Thursday, the Bible study. I really enjoy coming to the Bible studies on Thursdays. I want to get to mixed Bible study as well, but I'm just enjoying Ken's Bible study so much. You know that. But I've not got to do mixed yet. I'm looking forward to doing that one day. But I want to say I'm just learning so much. But on Thursday, we looked at Isaiah 58, didn't we, together? Ken was sharing Isaiah 58. And this passage is all about realigning your lives with God, about honoring God, and where you're dishonoring God and getting back in line with God. And at the end of the passage, it struck me again. And I just want to share it with you because I believe the importance of it. I think we need to be reminded of it, particularly in the day. But at the end of the passage of Isaiah 58, he begins to talk about honoring the Sabbath. There's much there about honoring the poor, honoring others. But then he talks about honoring the Sabbath. And I'm going to read to you. Isaiah 58, verse 13. From the New American Standard Bible. It's a good translation, so that's why I like to use it. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on the holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and from speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see that? Now, I know I remember Sunday was Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. It was fully packed. And it was the Lord's day. Now sometimes I drive past a church somewhere and it'll say, today's service 45 minutes long. And so people are, that's appealing because it just takes 45 minutes out of the day. It's not the Lord's 45 minutes. It's not the Lord's 2 hours. It's the Lord's day. Now you'll say to me, well, the Sabbath was a Saturday, and you come with those arguments. So actually, it's not the Sabbath, it's a Sunday. If we're going to take the Sabbath, we should do the Saturday. And we come with the argument. It's just an excuse, I tell you. I know the word. The Bible says that they met on the first day of the week from the resurrection. And they considered that as the Sabbath. Because Jesus rose again. And when they gathered together, they came and they brought their offerings together and worshiped regularly on the first day of the week. And that was the Lord's day. Today, is it still the Lord's day? We know in the society, the government, they're looking at opening the shops even longer, which means that more people will less be able to go and fellowship together. It's a challenge for those people in workplaces because the pressure's been heavier onto having to work Sundays. So the gathering is becoming a greater battle for us. But doesn't mean to say that we have to make it easier as a church. The Bible says we need to honor the Lord's day. We're not honoring me by coming and just saying, well, Pastor wants us to come to church on Sunday, so we better be there. It's about honoring God. And my children know that if they get a party invitation on a Sunday, then they can't go. I'm teaching them to put God first. And God will honor them. Rachel used to run a kids' party. And she kept getting invites to come and do things on a Sunday. And she said, I can't do it. Why? Because she wanted to honor God. Why? Because in the honoring of God, we know that God will honor us. I tell you, you want God's blessing and honor on us as a church. We say, God, move in us. But it starts with honoring him first. Now, please, you know, you might challenge me. You don't like some of the things that I'm saying this morning, but I'm only giving you the word of God. Things that have been moved away from, and sadly, the church is moving further away from. But it doesn't mean to say that God's word has changed. We can create a wonderful presence in our meetings. We can play the right music. We can have the right lighting. We can say the right words. And we can say, right, we had a great time this morning. But it doesn't mean to say that God's presence turned up. We honor God, his presence will turn up because his word says so. Let's be a church that honors him. I tell you, there's so many things here. Let me just come and start bringing this to a close here. They dishonored their father. It says that the father came to them. Eli came and said to them, he said, sons, people are complaining about what you're doing. You're bullying. They beat them up. They don't want to come and worship God. And what you're doing is wrong. And they said they didn't listen to their father. They were dishonoring their father. What does the Bible say? It says in Ephesians, if you honor your parents, so you would all be well with you and you would live long in the land. Do you know what happened to these two men? They died in the prime of life before their father died. But not only did they dishonor their father, and is it important that we honor our parents? And sometimes I know it's hard. You think, how are we going to honor these people? How do we honor these leaders? Do you know how bad they treat us? God isn't saying honor them because they treat you well or because they're honorable. He says honor them because he placed them in that place of authority over your life. If they fail you, it doesn't mean to say that you have to fail them and because you're honored to God. And besides, you're honoring God. You're not honoring them anyway, necessarily. You are, but ultimately you're honoring God. People will mistreat us. People will abuse us. People will speak against us. People will challenge us. People in authority will speak against us and do all kinds of things. But they will have to give an account to God. Just let's honor God by honoring others. And honoring that includes honoring our parents. But also, not only did they dishonor their parents, but you know, one of the things I see so often sometimes is that Eli, he just gave his sons a telling off. He didn't discipline them. And God had to say to Eli, he says, look, you know, you're just talking to your sons. He's told his sons, just stop doing what you're doing. It's not right. It's affecting what God's going to do to you, and it's affecting your walk with him. It's affecting your relationship with the people. You need to stop it. That's basically, just give them a good talking to. But there was no discipline there. And God had to turn and bring this man of God to him and say, Eli, why is it you're kicking against the offerings? He said, why are you putting your sons before me? You're honoring your children before God. And I tell you, sometimes we put our children before the things of God. Hannah put her son, put God before her son and gave her son to the Lord. That's why dedication is so important. And what happened to Samuel? He became a great, mighty man of God. Did it affect their relationship with each other? No, in fact, it got better. Samuel's mom and dad, they would bring a new coat to Samuel every year, put the coat on. Samuel grew up in the presence of God, became a great spokesman for God. He learned to hear God. He walked with God. He spoke for God. He started a school of prophets because she honored God before her children. Not only that, God blessed Hannah with more children. A woman who couldn't bear children, now she has, is it three more sons and two daughters? See, God honors us when we honor. And we think that actually by putting our children before God, we think we're going to lose our children. I tell you, you're more likely to lose them if you don't put God first. Put God first in everything. And teach your children to put God first. Honor God. So often we want to please our children. We want them to be happy at the cost of disciplining them. The Father disciplines those he loves. My God disciplines me. My parents discipline me, and I never regret one moment because I knew they loved me. And I'm sure many of you have been disciplined by your parents, and you can say thank you. And maybe at times I've stepped over the mark with my children and I feel, Lord, maybe I've been too hard. Forgive me. And I've had to apologize to them. Or maybe at times my parents stepped over the mark with me. But I'm so glad they did. We honor God by putting him first in our lives. God will remove anything that is dishonorable to him. He removed corrupt leaders. He removed Saul. He removed the two sons of Eli. He removed people in leadership that should not be there if they're dishonoring to him. We don't have to remove them. He'll do it. But we have the responsibility of honoring people. And I love David was an example of that, wasn't he? Saul was after his life. I mean, he threw spears at him. He sent men to chase him down, to kill him, to destroy David. Saul just got so jealous of him. I don't want this man here in leadership. I don't want this man serving. I don't want this man around us. I don't want him to take on the next king. And he had an debtor against him. And then David had that opportunity when Saul was there. He was busy doing his business, whatever that was. And David crept up behind him. He could have killed him there and then. It says he tore the end of his garment. He cut it off and went away. You know, he could have killed him. But you know, David, that day when I read the scriptures and I see what happened, you get the emotion. David was under so much conviction at just tearing his garment. Imagine what it would have been like if he'd killed him. This man who's after his life. And he said, God forbid that I lay my hand upon God's anointed. Why? Because he honored the authority God had placed on him. Was what Saul was doing right? No. But he was honoring the anointing upon Saul. So God honored David. You see, it's all about our honor to God. It's not about our honor to men. Samuel ministered before the Lord. He wasn't ministering before Eli. He wasn't ministering before the people. He wasn't ministering before himself. He was ministering before the Lord. You see, we're about honoring him. Our worship is about honoring him. Our service is about honoring him. As we honor one another, it's about honoring him. As we honor our parents, it's about honoring him. As we honor the gifts and the things that God's given us, it's about honoring him. God is calling us to honor him, and it starts with humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord, riches, honor, and life. Humility of saying, Jesus, I'm no better than anybody else in this room today. In fact, Jesus, I just want to put myself in a lower position. Actually, I'm so grateful for everybody here. I value them. I want to serve them. I want to bless them. Because Jesus, I recognize you in their lives, and I want to bless you. It starts with humility. God will honor those who honor him. Somebody said, he said, you show me the man that you honor, and I'll show you a man who honors God, how much he honors God. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the honor that comes from your name. We thank you, Lord, that you want to bless us. Lord, I thank you that Samuel says that he was a man who grew up in the favor of the Lord. He grew up in the favor of men and with God. Why? Because he honored you. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we as a church would have that heart to honor you. Lord, that would honor one another as we honor you. You say, Father, Lord, that we're to outdo one another with the honor that we have. That honor should go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from one moment, from one degree to the next degree unto you. That it should be increasing. So, Lord, let our honor for you increase with all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.